I can't deal with it.
Welcome to episode 133 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 23rd. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about losing.
Box losing. Is going underground.
In the studio with me, as always, Mr. Kenny.
Hi.
And across from me.
Good evening, folks.
Mr. Jive Midnight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Wild lost.
They did.
Can I go golfing, though?
Well, we know Suter is, so...
I mean, I never could before, but...
Well, I actually went to Can-Can Wonderland today, and so...
That mini golf.
They have mini golf. I didn't mini golf. I played pinball, but, you know...
Hey.
It's kind of close.
Which way?
I was close enough to the giant... tornado thing, as well as the elephant that would make noises and stuff.
Haven't
been there, Can-Can is a great place, actually.
It's a wonderland.
It is.
Oh.
It's actually, and it's not busy when it's really nice out.
Hey, and if you go there, tell them that Three in the Box sent you and they should send us some money.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But they're not going to do that.
Okay, so then hit them in the kneecaps with your putter.
There we go.
Well, maybe they'll start
giving me money.
Tonya Harding.
Maybe give me your money.
Maybe they'll give us like one of those nice adult malt beverage, not malt beverage, but a shake, like adult shake is what you know. Oh. Like
I thought you were talking about like Colt 45.
Yeah, not malt
every
liquor.
Time.
Not malt liquor. No steel reserve.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just saying that gives me a hangover. Makes my head hurt.
Yeah, it's the Steel Reserve is. It has a special spot in our heart, in our liver, I think.
I don't know if I'd say special, but there's a spot there that I don't want to go to ever again.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about this horrible, horrible week?
Yeah. So we saw a bit.
Do you want me to bump it up?
Bump it up.
Oh yeah.
Let's get excited about this.
Yeah. Go. Oh wait. So, yeah, I gotta show you this.
Oh,
yeah!
Look at that.
Wild win the Stanley Cup. Yeah, that's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
We would have burned it, but then we probably would have set all the paint fumes that we put up onto the wall on fire.
This is true.
Yeah.
We could have just set Heatley out there and put him back on fire again.
We probably could have, yeah.
That guy just doesn't fucking burn, though.
No, we tried. Tried burning, we tried blowing up, we tried shooting with a BB gun.
Wow, he was hard to take out, wasn't he?
Maybe next time Felsk is in town, we got to bring him out to the range.
Ooh.
With us.
I like it. I like it.
See who, let's see who can take Heatley's head off at 100 yards.
Well, we know it's going to be me, right?
Only if it's a handgun. And that wasn't quite 100 yards.
I had pretty good accuracy with the rifles, too.
You know,
just saying.
Yeah, okay.
Just saying.
Tucker, competitive violent, that's why you're here!
14-year-old me had a marksmanship merit badge. That's all I'm going to say, you know.
So, we had a bit of a uplift. The Wild finally win a game.
Woo!
A shutout, nonetheless.
Woo-hoo!
And then Saturday happened, yesterday happened.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And we were down. And then we came back. And we went into overtime. And are the Wild allowed to win in overtime in the playoffs?
Apparently not.
Nope.
At least not this year.
Stahl took a nice header into the board tripping off of Allen's skate.
And I think last we heard he's still...
He was released.
Was he released?
He was released, is from what I could...
Did we get any more details, though, about, you know, what happened?
No, I pulled up Sports Illustrated's website, and it started giving me an ad for the Washington... the Metro Division.
Okay, first off, Sports Illustrated, what year is it? I mean, when was the last time they were relevant?
Well,
even
here's what the top Google hits for a stall injury.
I know there's nothing out there. There really
Sports Illustrated and Bleacher Report. And Bleacher Report started giving me an ad for basketball.
That makes sense. I mean,
oh, your favorite hockey guy is injured? Hey, do you want to watch some basketball?
Oh, hey, you're searching for sports in April and you're in Minnesota? Well, we know hockey and basketball aren't going to be, you know, part of your interest at this point.
So we'll just give you basketball.
Yeah, because why not?
So I didn't want to stick on either of those sites, but at least what I could tell from the headlines, Stahl was released and he's got some time to recover on the greens.
What do you guys think? Do you think he just took a concussion sliding into the boards?
Well,
or,
I know a lot of people were saying that Allen had nothing to do with it, but Allen doing his little jig.
Yeah, but he's playing the game. I mean, I don't fault Allen for that. Definitely not.
I don't put a lot of fault in it, but it seems that a goaltender can do whatever the frick he wants, and it doesn't matter what the repercussions are. You know, he can obstruct play. He can do whatever he wants. He's basically untouchable. And I know me and Kenny have had this discussion, you know, about goaltenders playing the puck. And
I think, you know, if they're out of the crease, they're fair game just like any other skater.
I mean, not by the rules. By the rules, they're not fair game. But
I can agree with that. If they're outside of the crease, that, you know, a goalie becomes just like another player.
I mean, while skating that puck up, what's to say that a goalie can't just skate a puck up and be untouchable at that point, at least up to the center line?
Well,
that's bullshit.
Well, we almost had that also in the series, though.
Yeah.
You know, we had that moment where we're like, what the hell's going on here? So, I don't know. I go both ways where I don't want to defend a goaltender being able to do whatever and have carte blanche of, you know.
So let's just get rid of the blue crease and just say you can't touch a goaltender anywhere.
Give him a different colored jersey, you know?
Oh,
contact
jersey.
Let's
yeah.
play soccer.
Nope.
Oh, that goalie.
Well, we still get all the diving from, you know.
That's true.
Although that goalie that we saw earlier today from Minnesota United looked like he had a nice shiner going on his eye. It just happened to be on when we were looking for hockey.
Did you guys happen to catch, though, the other night? There was a couple instances, and I know that the you know, replays they did, you know, definitely showed some of this where, you know, some of the St. Louis guys were, like, even taking the Wild stick and, you know, like, using their hand to raise it to their face and,
yeah.
And you know, give them a shot. And it's like, This stuff has got to stop. And even like the over dramatization of, you know, getting hit with a stick. Yeah, we know it flipping hurts, but quit looking for blood. I mean, this goes for any team out there. You know, the rule of, you know, dropping some blood and all of a sudden it's a double minor or whatever it's going to be. I think that it's ridiculous because, you know, if it's a major penalty, if it looks super malicious, then call it. But just because blood is drawn because a stick gets popped up higher, you know, let's not call it at that.
I think I mean, I know we talked about it last week, but I'm still irritated by, because it continued, the wrenching the helmets off.
Yes.
By Blues players of the Wild players.
Yeah.
And the lack of calling of that.
Oh, it continued.
It totally continued, and I don't understand how that's a clean hockey play. It's not.
Because it's the playoffs.
Honestly.
Sorry if you're just listening, but there was an eye roll after that.
In any of the games that I had a chance to actually watch, the reffing has been absolute garbage.
Well, the officiating.
The officiating has been.
Because even in game four, I think it was, where we had, you know, just so many. Well, we had a lot of icing by the Blues, and then even some icing that shouldn't have been called against the Blues. And you had a crowd that didn't apparently understand what icing is.
The officiating was bad.
It was really bad.
And not just the Wild Series. I mean, it spanned all series, at least from what I saw. It got to the point where Pierre, who is very neutral with the officials, was actually calling them out on stuff this past
week.
Well,
and here's the deal, though. What I don't want, or what I do wonder, is that, you know, did the NHL go to their officials and say, you know, this is the playoffs, let them play?
I don't think the NHL has to. I think most of these guys have been around long enough that they just let them play. But the problem is where do you draw the line after you start letting them do it?
But that's the thing, is I think that, especially if they've been around for a longer period of time, they know that, you know, you start to let things get out of hand and get out of control, and it's not like it gets any better. It just continues to build and to build. These are all, you know, this is a male sport here, so there's a lot of testosterone on the ice, and it keeps building and building, and all next thing you know is...
You're blowing your load all over the place.
Right. That's pretty much it. That's what she said. But anyways, I mean, that's... I think that the refs themselves, you know, as far as the playoffs go, they need to set their tone at the beginning of the series. And I agree with you, Kenny. I've seen it not only in the Wild Series, but in other series around. And, you know, it's out of hand already. After every whistle that happens around a goalie, oh, get away from my goalie. Here, take a fist or, you know, a handful of my face or handful of my hand to your face.
Well, since we're talking about the officiating, though, Teresa and Tim both bring up good points about the face-offs and about how the Blues were accusing the Wild of cheating. And then we had, I think it was in Game 4, might have been Game 5, I might be confusing the two, but where we had the Wild consistently kicked out of the face-off dot, and it was unbelievable. It was slowing the pace of the game.
Yes.
I know we tweeted out about how the refs were really dictating the pace of this game.
Absolutely.
I know someone was like, oh, that's typical Minnesota sports fan, you know, blaming the refs. But
I was setting my DVR for an extra hour and a half every game.
Right.
Not even accounting for overtime.
I mean, this is not a Yankees-Red Sox game where we need to buffer it because it's going to be taking forever. This is hockey. It should be a relatively quick game unless it's going to overtime. And
yeah, that clock keeps running, right?
Right, but it's not when we're doing the puck drop and then, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. It really is.
I agree.
So that was our series.
Well, yeah.
Kind of, in a nutshell.
That was our series. That was our season.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, though, we scored more than two goals in that last game.
We did.
We did.
Yeah.
We got a shutout.
And we had a shutout.
We didn't.
This is some silver linings bullshit here right now, though.
We didn't get swept.
We didn't. This is true.
The team that's
better than Chicago.
Yeah, the team that finished in front of us, they got swept.
And
right?
Well,
right?
Yeah,
they got shut out twice.
Should we be happy, you know,
no.
Talking about this?
It doesn't matter because all the players are at the same spot right now on the golf course.
At the end of the day, yeah. We're
and you know, and you know who's moving the second round? Mike Yo.
Oh. Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. Yeah.
Man. How does that feel?
I'm pretty sure when we talked about Yo getting fired, I'm pretty sure the three of us all agreed that Yo was going to have another team he would hook up with.
Yeah.
He was not going to be a one-and-done NHL coach. And we all thought he would be good.
Yep.
And I don't know that he's still good because we saw it in Game 4 where the Wild were leading and Yo went into, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm going to change up all my lines.
And it didn't do well.
Yeah. It didn't do anything. And, I mean, I personally, I don't think the Blues have staying power. I think the Predators, the Preds, they look pretty damn good. Well, actually, Pekka Rinne looks really good.
And yeah. Actually, Jake Allen looks pretty good.
I don't think Jake Allen looks that good, though. I think the Wild were just that inept.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I kind of agree with you, Aaron.
I tend to disagree. I think that the Wild had, I mean, they had more scoring chances. You know, whether they blundered those scoring chances
so many of those shots on goal, though, were like right into bread basket, though. They weren't proper shots, though. They weren't good quality shots.
Fair enough to say, but scoring opportunities. And, you know, maybe it's flashy, maybe it's not. You know, I mean, you see the glove saves from Jake Allen, but you also see him just eating that stuff up. There weren't a lot of rebounds for the Wild to have,
with the exception of Game One, because Game One, Allen,
Game One was out of hand.
Game One, Allen was like a rebound factory,
and then
which is why we had any
advantage.
Which is why we had 52 shots on goal. You know, you don't get that many shots on goal unless there's some failure at some point.
I really think that the Wild were just dominating that game, though, too. I mean,
had the Wild won that game, we probably would still be in it because it changes the pace of the series.
Well, we would be because it would be 3-2.
True, but but they might be in a better position rather than 3-2 is kind of what I'm getting at. It's not that they would be not eliminated. It would be that it might be 3-2 Wild rather than...
I get what you're saying.
But in the end, all it comes down to for playoffs, doesn't matter where you finish, it comes down to having that hot goaltender. You see, you know, I mean, two of the teams with the best records coming out of the season, Chicago Blackhawks, Minnesota Wild. We also see that there are some other teams that are, you know, or maybe even having a little bit more trouble than was expected.
Yeah, but I think people are always with the Wild, we're facing a goalie who's playing out of his mind. That's the excuse that Wild fans make all the time, when it really is our offense isn't doing jack.
Well, and that's fair enough to say.
Allen doesn't exist in a vacuum where... You know, you have to take in consideration the quality of shots he's facing.
Allen has had a great second half of his season. Yes, he started out the year very poorly, and he had some issues. But that guy turned it around, and you want to know what? I think that Allen is hot at the right time. Rinne, out there in Nashville, I mean, he's hot. He's hot at the right time. That's what it counts.
Okay.
I'm not done talking. If we look at our goaltender, Dubnyk, I'm not going to say that Dubnyk, you know, didn't do his part for the team. I mean,
when you give up two goals a game.
He played great. But
Allen got lucky having...
You're
facing an inept offense. That's the problem.
Will you finish listening to me, though?
No.
But Dubnyk, in the end...
You're going to blame Dubnyk on...
You're Dubnyk shaming. No, I'm not blaming the whole Dubnyk scene.
And I don't like it.
I am definitely not. I'm saying what the difference is in the playoff teams here. Because every, you know, all of these series in the playoffs, they're all close. They're all tight. And what you need from your goaltender is for your goaltender to come up with, like, that one or two spectacular saves.
You need your team to score some freaking goals.
You do. But seriously, the goal in overtime there last night, number one, Dubnyk was the one who gave the puck away. Fine. I'm not gonna blame him on that. You know, we've had, you know, stuff happen, whatever. He's trying to help out the team move the puck forward. That's how we're playing. But what I do want to say, though, is that play across there, I mean, he's almost there with, like, his glove hand or his shoulder or something, but It's just not enough.
Okay.
That's where you need to...
I'm not going to disagree that if you've got a hot goalie mm-hmm. in the playoffs, you're going to be in a good spot.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Many teams have ridden a hot goalie to the cup.
Exactly. It would be foolish for me to argue against that. I don't think Allen is that hot, though. I think the Wild are that cold. And the coldest team offensively will make a mediocre goalie look fantastic. And the Wild have done that. This is not the first year that the Wild have done that. You know, how often are we facing, you know, some basically second-tier goalie? And I was like, well, he's just playing out of his mind tonight. You know, or we faced a hot goalie. That's how we always explain it away. I think the offense was so bad, Allen basically could have just stood there and looked phenomenal.
I'm not disagreeing that our offense wasn't the greatest. But what I do want to say, mark my words, is that it's going to be a flipping showdown, basically, between Nashville and St. Louis. A showdown of the South for hockey. This is disappointing.
If you ask someone from Missouri, they won't say they're in the
South. I wouldn't necessarily put St. Louis in the South.
I would still put them in the South. But if you ask someone from Missouri, they're not in the South.
But what we're coming down to,
north
of
the Mason-Dixon line,
it's going to be a showdown of goalies. And I'm telling you what, Allen is eating the puck up right now. And that's what I want to say. And that's going to save his team a lot of troubles. I feel, from what I watched of him,
I think if you get
he's controlling his rebounds.
If you get a team that can go to the center that the Wild don't do, I think Allen's going to be totally exposed.
And this has been brought up on the chat. Nashville will have the guys that'll grind in that center and push the St. Louis guys out of the way, and I think that's going to screw with Allen.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I mean, and that's all the Wild needed to do to beat them was to get some bodies in front.
I don't think the Blues are that good. I really don't.
Coyle, had he been using his presence and his size, should have been muscling some of those guys out of the way. Coyle should have had 5 goals that series.
Don't put the series on Coyle,
or
man.
Nino.
Nino.
Or Stahl. I mean, there's plenty of big boys that could have been pushing their way to the middle, and they...
Stahl's not big. He's frail. He is. Well,
you throw him in head first into a board. Yeah, of course he's frail.
I wish only the best for Stahl. I'm not saying anything about that, but I don't see.
Are you saying he's got a baby head?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm talking about
baby headed Stahl.
So, no, what I'm saying here is what it's going to come down to, though, here we got, in my opinion, we've got two hot goaltenders that are coming together here between the Predators and the Blues. But
you look at the ancillary players for the two teams, the Predators are way better skilled. With the exception of Tarasenko and maybe Parayko, the Blues are basically a bunch of goons. Well, they're not a very talented team.
Okay. But tell me this.
Sobotka, maybe Stastny.
Stastny comes back.
That could change it, you know. But
Stastny is back.
Right.
So, and tell me this then. So if you look into playoff history in the NHL, the Major League Baseball, you know, any of those.
Those goalies in baseball are great.
NFL, whatever it is. If you look to those and you look to those championship teams, do you see always like the big, you know, standout stars always on those teams?
Bulls, Michael Jordan, yes.
And I see some dominance in early rounds, and I don't feel that the Blues were dominant. I really don't.
No, I don't think they were either.
I'm not talking about dominance here, and I'm not saying that the Blues are going to win the Stanley Cup right now.
I know you're playing devil's advocate.
I'm not even playing devil's advocate here. But if you look into things like that, it doesn't always necessarily come down to, you know, who looks the best on paper. Basically, it's who brings their game.
I'm not even talking about paper. I mean, I'm just talking about what I've seen.
Yeah.
But that's not paper. It's not like I'm looking at numbers and going, well, the, you know, Predators have outscored the Blues, and that's why they're going to win. I just think by my observations that the Blues aren't that good.
I didn't even call the Predators to win. I didn't call the Blues to lose.
Well,
I'm saying,
Lord
here,
knows
though, is,
I didn't. You know. I blew the West. I picked every wrong team.
Actually, Aaron, you picked every wrong team in all except for one.
For Washington.
Yeah,
Washington.
Let's listen to this guy, yeah. Right?
What's his bracket name? Kenny will do the worstest.
Yes.
Kenny is.
I'll still finish with more points than you.
Oh, you're still going with Washington winning the cup.
So Kenny, what did you do? Bet like, did you pick like every person that was suspected to lose?
Me?
Yeah.
No, my strategy was going with the Wild redemption clause. So St. Louis to Chicago to Pittsburgh.
But who was your cup winner?
That'd be the Wild.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
I would go.
I would say that makes you instantly the wrong. Guess,
I would.
Actually.
I would go out to the NHL bracket challenge to check it out, but I continue to run into like.
No, it's actually up and running now.
Some errors. Oh, it's back now.
It's back
for now. For now.
You've got a window to check it.
Right. Oh, I better go check my bracket.
It's like
now.
United. You're on the plane. You think you're good to go, and all of a sudden they drag you off.
Oh man.
Okay, so. Do we want to go through the rest of our predictions with who's won since we know what teams are moving on, though?
Who won?
Oh, yeah, we can do... Are we doing revised?
Yeah, revised. So okay. We talked about Nashville and St. Louis ad nauseum.
Well, I'm going to say Nashville's going to win. I'm going to put that out.
I think... Man... I'd want to see St. Louis lose just because of they beat the Wild, but I'm gonna go with St. Louis. Just I don't know. I think St. Louis might do it.
CO's turn.
Yeah, that kind of hurts, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're gonna make it to the Cup. But I think they might make it past Nashville.
I definitely think so. Like I say, in as much as you want to challenge me on it, Allen is eating him up. And that's going to save his team in the long run. And, I know that Rene has been definitely a brick wall himself
to this point. How many shout-outs did Allen get in the first round?
None.
How many did Rene get?
I don't know.
At least two.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Fine.
Just saying.
All right. Going south of that bracket. Anaheim and Edmonton.
That's not south. Well, that's south and north.
Looking at the bracket, it's south.
Oh. I'm gonna go Edmonton with McJesus.
Yeah, Edmonton is. They've got a little special sauce going on or something.
I just feel like Anaheim's long in the tooth that they're gonna lose eventually.
And they had the Flames to start out with.
Right.
Yeah, because Aaron, you had Calgary, San Jose, so this is a fresh bracket for you.
Yeah, it is.
Jive, what did you have?
I don't know, so.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter at this point, does it? So on the east.
Wait, Jive, what was your pick?
Between Calgary and Edmonton?
No, Anaheim and Edmonton.
Or, yeah, Calgary and Edmonton. I was saying that Anaheim took care of Calgary very well.
You're right.
But yeah, I was picking Edmonton though, because I think that they've definitely
magic
going on.
Anaheim, San Jose, but with Anaheim moving on, I'm kind of a little worried. I think Edmonton might actually take out Anaheim now and Edmonton moving on, so I think I'm going to go with Edmonton.
So that's three of us that are voting for Edmonton here. It looks like, they've made enough changes here now, enough moves that
they're
not the dumping ground
I still think their goaltending is suspect though.
Their goaltending is suspect.
But they're
which we've talked about goaltending.
Well, I don't think Anaheim's goaltending is any better. So it's I think they're going to get lucky.
Edmonton has their first round pick line that is.
I think Edmonton is going to face whoever they face between Nashville and St. Louis, and they're going to lose. Probably.
All right.
I don't want to see Nashville go on, though.
No.
So, but so in the
sometimes it hurts
on the eastern side.
I got all the East right, so I'm just going to follow my bracket.
So, Rangers versus Ottawa.
I got Rangers beating Ottawa. I think they will.
I would agree. Rangers aren't doing good.
I think Rangers are going to do well in that bracket. I mean, they had a better record, I believe, than all the other teams in that record, but because of how everything got, you know, they were a wild card, I think they're going to blow through it, and I'm going to see them in the conference finals.
And you can't argue with goaltending. No. I'm sorry to keep coming back to goaltending, but once you get to playoff hockey, man, that's, in my opinion, that's what it's all about.
Allen still isn't that good. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
Really? We got
to
go
fair to say.
We're in the East now.
He is probably not the best in the league.
I'm sure there's Allens in the East.
Aaron's doing his best.
It's a very common name.
Aaron's doing, right. doing his best anti-Sports Illustrated and try to keep reverting back to the West rather than the East.
Not sure what you mean by that, but okay.
Okay, Aaron.
Next one is...
Aaron, who'd you have? Rangers, Ottawa?
I said Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Next one is Washington versus Pittsburgh. The Ovechkin versus Crosby, which is like the 10th time they faced off in the playoffs, I think.
I gotta
roll with Washington because Ovi's gonna be due eventually, right?
At some point,
he's gotta be.
Maybe.
Or Ovi, you got Backstrom. I mean, those guys gotta Holtby. They gotta win it eventually. I think.
Maybe.
Holtby's been hot.
Yeah, and I don't trust Pittsburgh at all. I still don't trust them.
I had my wild revenge bracket going on with Pittsburgh advancing, but I might actually flip on this one. I think I might go with Washington beating Pittsburgh.
That's for heart. That's not what you really think, though.
I would like to see Washington beat Pittsburgh since the Wild can't do it right now.
And you want to know what? I think that Washington is a tough team this year, and they've got decent goaltending. Wow. That you cannot...
Tell me more.
I'm boring myself to death here. Sorry about that, folks. But no, they've got, you know, once again, we'll talk about the goaltending. That's what it comes down to in the playoffs. Washington's got the great goaltending going on right now. I wouldn't, you know, Pittsburgh, they're definitely a great team, but I would definitely have to lean towards Washington winning this one. It's probably about their turn anyways. Like you say, Ovechkin, is definitely due, some sort of a, you know, championship or something. Otherwise the Wild might want to look into, you know, figuring out a way to get him in here next year, so, you know, we might be able to take advantage of something, but the Wild would never do something like that. Never mind.
All right, and that would be it, all right?
I think that's it.
All would right. that be it?
That'd be it, at least for this round.
What about the, what is it, the Mets versus the Nationals?
No.
Oh, is that the wrong sport?
Yeah.
All right, shoot. So we got a bunch of questions from all you guys that we're going to try to...
I think it's time for Twitter talk.
Time for Twitter talk.
Yeah, let's do that. All right.
In the order that they came in.
We got a ton of questions, and I'm sorry if we cut one of these off because they're...
Some of these might be duplicate. We haven't edited, so...
Yeah, so we're going to wing it. First question from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Were the Sabres really being run, coached that poorly, that Bilsma/Murray... get axed, or is it another crazy owner run amok?
I'm going to go with crazy owner run amok.
Crazy owners.
Crazy owner.
For the win.
There's there's a lot of...
Or not for the win.
micromanaging on the ownership level. I don't think we have that with the Wild, luckily, but I don't think we do.
No,
well, maybe except with Suter, but...
Right.
I think we're actually all right because there's other teams I think that are way worse off. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with crazy owner trying to micromanage and just not letting his guys that he hired do their thing.
Crazy owner. All right, next question in from Crease and Assist. After Game 4, Boudreau suggested Peter Angelo's hit on Parisi you know, would have incited violence if done on, you know, in the late 70s or maybe the early 80s. You know, which that
follows on to the next one.
Oh, it follows on to the next one. Look at this. See? Thank you, Twitter, for, you know, your
140 character limit.
Yes.
Arbitrary at this point.
So, which would you like to see go after Peter Angelo? You know, they don't have to play for the Chiefs either. So, if done, so sorry to recap, if done in the late 70s or early 80s, you know, which of the goons would you, the Slapshot goons, would you like to see that go after Peter Angelo?
Well, what if I want like a wild goon to go after him?
That's, you know, possible.
I would like to see, I would like to see, I don't, not even a goon. I'd like to see one of the wild big boys go for it.
I would like I would like
Stahl.
So current?
I want someone current to stand up for Parisi. You know,
Stahl's not my guy that I'm asking to stand up for somebody.
I need someone to stand up for anyone.
There's nobody in the Wild that.
Isn't that a problem though? Isn't that a problem?
Maybe. I mean, you could get Stewart, and he'll maybe get in somebody's.
Yeah, but he's not playing the same line as Parisi, so Parisi will just get, you know, cross-checked into the Hennepin County, and then
I think Dubnyk should have left the crease and went after him.
And tomahawk chop.
Tomahawk chop.
Yeah.
Take that big goalie paddle. And if I'm looking for a Slapshot goon, I'm going to have to say, you know, triple team that motherfucker.
I'm going
take
with
the Hanson brothers on him.
17. This is what, 16, 17, 18?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with 17.
All right, then.
All righty, then.
Next question.
Is there something Pominville, from Crease and Assist, is there something Pominville brought to the Minnesota Wild for the postseason at all, or would number 10 or 14 brought more?
I look at it and would Rayovac or, no, Eric Snack is 14.
Shredder.
Shredder.
What I'm going to say is, personally, I definitely think that Shredder could have brought something to the table.
He could have, but...
I think, well, I mean, but, all season long, anytime that he was in the game, he was a definite contributor.
But at the same point, I'm not convinced that he'd be any better than Pominville.
I think
not than Pominville. That I have to agree with that part. Pominville is not probably the one that I'd be looking to take out for that, you know, to fill that spot. But
and Eriksson got some time, so I mean that's kind of a moot point. I'm guessing
was that an experience thing for him, or you know,
I mean maybe, but
I think Pominville played up to his potential, and I don't know if anybody else would have actually done any better.
So who's our backup goalie?
What?
I love where that comes in. What? Well, who was our backup goalie?
Well, it was Stalock. Split. It was split, actually.
Yeah. Stalock for the couple.
Last two, I think.
It just got me to thinking about that. I'm sorry that, you know, I mean, that I'm ADD and I'm fucking, you know.
Hey, remember that thing that we saw in the paper today about diet drinks and dementia?
Yeah. What?
Not amnesia.
Who are you?
Not amnesia.
Oh, not totally, amnesia.
Totally different.
Totally different.
You got to start telling us about your childhood.
My childhood?
Yeah. In the Depression era, you know? Because you are our grandfather. I'm just being kind there.
Back when the Dust Bowl was happening.
So you think I was...
I remember.
I'm a millennial grandpa. Right? Oh, wait, no, we determined tonight, though, that I'm out of the middle.
You're baby boomer.
No, I'm not a baby boomer.
What's pre-baby boomer?
The greatest generation, or that would be one of the names for them.
How was the war? The first one.
I think
the Spanish-American War. You remember that one, right?
No, I'm pretty sure I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah, you would fall in Gen X.
Gen Xer. Yeah. So Gen Y starts when?
That's millennial.
Gen Y is the millennials?
Yeah. Because it is.
Where's the Pepsi generation?
Because it was Generation Y was like a lazy attempt by the boomers to go, well, we already have a Gen X. Well, let's name the next one Y.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Exactly.
It's like, we're the boomers. We're the best ever.
Until you take all of our social security.
And you're going to pay for us till we die.
Oh, yeah, by the way, it's all like ending at some point. Anyway, next question. As we've been totally derailed. Wow. Next question from HankLee89, at HankLee89. Who can the Wild realistically move on from the offseason to find some toughness? So I'm guessing, who can we pick up for toughness? Or...
Yeah. Well, we figure we're going to be losing somebody in the expansion draft.
Right.
So that's going to clear up some room, maybe not a whole lot. I mean, if we're looking for toughness...
Quick question.
Hold on. If we're looking for toughness, we're not going to be spending a big dime.
We're not out of space to do that.
But we're going to be losing somebody that's probably going to be clearing up, what, maybe a mil and a half? Maybe two?
Maybe.
So my question, though, real quick. Does a no movement clause on your contract, does that take you out of the pool for the...
Yep. Yeah.
It does. Okay. Yep. All right.
No movement clause or entry level, right? If you're still on entry level contract.
Well, yeah. You have to be so many years removed from your entry level contract.
Okay.
It's, yeah. And then you have to have so many, firstborns sail down the river of Styx. And then they have some other weird, like, clauses in that thing.
It's like trying to read the eligibility for the 120.
Right.
Why does it need to be this hard, you know? Pick one guy from each team.
Right.
Done.
CBA, something, CBA.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go play in the Olympics anyway, so who cares?
Right.
I don't know. I think anybody we pick up is going to be half tough and half-assed skater. Well, like, it's not going to be anybody great, I don't think.
I don't
even know who's going to be available.
There's not a lot of toughness out there, basically. I think that... you know, what the game is today has evolved to something that's more than, the goonery.
To your point is, if you got a guy who's, since we're already picking on him, a coil type guy, but he's he has net front presence, teams aren't going to give him up for cheap. You know,
and
to expect us to be able to give up coil for coil plus, that's unrealistic at this point.
And basically, it's not so much an individual. It's not like you're just picking up a goon to go out and just, be the police force. You pretty much have to instill that in your team and in your lines. And you got to play like that now.
But you need a bigger body that will play physical. And those don't grow on trees, and they're not cheap.
And while we're on this, I'm going to take one moment here because I know that everybody has been tough on Coil down the road here. And, say what you want, but if I had to look back on the Wild this series and take a look and say who I thought, was the most valuable Wild player, I would actually put it on Coil. I think that
I'm going Parisi easily.
Parisi, yeah, definitely.
Parisi put in a couple of goals, but I think that Coil made his presence
and took a bunch of chops to the back, and
Coil could have scored more had he not been skating around the perimeter. So I look at it as
skating around the perimeter or controlling the game.
No,
I mean,
I look at it as potential wasted. He could have been much more of a force. Had he been not so tentative, because there's, I mean, I know we've talked about this a lot, where he'll skate around to the point that there's no offensive chances. And St. Louis is very smart. They would collapse in on Allen. And if you stick to if your offensive game is sticking to the perimeter, you're going to have a bad time in the playoffs because teams are smart. They're going to block you out. And, you know.
So you're saying that's why the Wild lost, basically, then, because that's their game, is play on the end boards and pop one out front, basically.
Well, the thing is, you have to have someone out front to put it in. And the Wild don't do that at all.
So is that Coyle's fault?
A part of it, yeah. It totally is.
That he has nobody to pass to out front?
He's
dangling around behind? Oh, my God. Yesterday's game, did you see him dangling for, like, you know, 10 seconds there? Back and forth, waiting, trying to find somebody out front.
You dangle long enough and nothing happens. And everyone collapses.
It looks pretty for a second.
It looks pretty, sure. And it looks like he's out-muscling people.
So why does...
But they're out-muscling him to weak positions. And that's the problem.
So why does...
He's not muscling into a quality spot.
Right. You're looking at Coyle right there. Look at the rest of his team.
Oh,
Where the hell are they?
I'm not saying he's the only one to blame.
Where the hell are they? And that's all I'm going to say.
That's why I say Parisi doesn't put himself in weak-ass positions like that. He gets to the front of the net. Coyle doesn't. He doesn't. The one time he did, you know what he did? He scored a goal. So,
yes. When he fought, he got it.
Right.
And is that what he's actually called upon to do?
That's what he
should be doing. He's a hockey player. He should be getting beat around in the front of the net with his size.
Then you might not
actually get in
you
and
might
actually
also,
score a goal.
You might also have to ask the coach then, you know, what the coach wants you to be playing.
Well, these are leading up to our next two questions, so let's grab these and we can continue with this.
All right, next one coming up here. All right, next question comes in from Finnesotan 12. Will Fletcher finally go after a decent backup?
Jive, you brought this up earlier in the podcast about who is backup. I think.
Are we talking goalie?
I'm gonna presume goalie on this one because it's not like you're gonna have a backup center when you've got four.
What is backup though? I mean,
backup coach. He's gonna call Yo back. No,
maybe.
If we're going to go goalie, I think Stalock is going to be the backup, and they might dangle Kemper.
Is Stalock a decent backup, though?
He played decent when he was up here, but it's a very small sample size. So we don't know how he's going to do, you know, four games in a row.
Yeah, but Stalock, I mean, it's not like he hasn't had any...
It's not like he hasn't
professional experience.
Right. He's tested in the NHL at this point. Yeah.
So at this point,
I'm okay with Stalock at this point.
Okay with Stalock, and I mean, honestly, I don't know that. Like, I'm not down on Dubnyk. Please don't take this like that.
Okay. Negative Nancy.
Do we have a replay on our conversation from earlier?
And
I'm pretty sure Jive said Dubnyk lost the series for a while.
I thought so too.
I'm pretty sure you guys are putting words into my mouth.
I'm pretty sure we didn't put any words in your mouth.
Hashtag Felska knows. Would you please let us know?
I'm pretty sure that grapefruit was in your mouth.
I am not down on Dubnyk, but what I do want to say is that, you know, I could definitely see something coming in for the Wild, hopefully, where it's more of a tandem type thing, where Dubnyk isn't expected to carry the full load of everything. And, I mean, Dubnyk, if you look at his numbers, I mean, even over this series, like, if you go to any other, you know, series, the Wild probably would have won. I mean, if you take a look at
speculation.
If you take a look at things, Allen, you know, stat-wise, was standing on his head. I mean, a .96 something goals against average. I mean, it was crazy. And Dubnyk was not far behind. I think that, you know, when Dubnyk is on his game, there are some, you know, amazing saves that he can make. Other than that, he is solid in net. He might not make a spectacular save, but he's going to be there for the ones you need him to make. Which, you know, there was a couple of those that actually got by him in this series that, you know, I'm not going to say anything more about. But I think that as far as finding a backup goalie, you know, Stalock might be an answer. He's a hometown boy. But, you know, I think we're all kind of definitely saying that, you know, we aren't expecting a lot of Kemper around here.
Kemper's gone.
Yeah. All right. So
speaking of people that are going to be gone.
So if you're Chuck Fletcher, what would you do with this team?
Who asked the question?
This offseason. Jay Bushy 19. Thank you.
Okay.
So you know what I would do? I would make him go to every single punk rock show that they could find to teach him how to deal with a pit and how to get beat around and survive. Net front presence.
I don't think Fletcher can do a whole lot. He's going to pray that someone who's overpriced gets picked off of picked off during the expansion draft and that he's got a little wiggle room. I don't think there's much that Fletcher can do. I think the Parisi and Suter contracts are basically an anchor.
They're strangling him.
They're an anchor around his neck.
Is he handcuffed?
He is. All
right. Drink.
All right.
Ty, have you got anything to add to that, or can we move on?
Let's move on.
All right, next question from at Finisodan 12. Who do you want to win the East-West now that the Wild are out? I don't think we really said that, but I'm just going to say Edmonton, Washington.
I'm going to go with Rangers and Edmonton.
Okay.
John? That I want to win.
Yep.
Ooh, that we want. I think that Washington will win, but I agree with you, Kenny. I want
New York, actually.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of a lot of New York teams, but I want to see the Rangers win, actually.
I'm over them. All right, next question. Jive.
Next question, me? I don't know how to answer questions, but I can tell you guys the question. This comes in from T-Hohen 88.
T-Hain.
T-Hain. Sorry, T-Hain.
It's like T-Pain.
We need to get like a auto-tune version.
T-Hain. Why? You just did a damn good job by yourself.
So T-Hang 88.
Oh, crap. We got to do this a few more times.
The Minnesota Wild is hamstrung, basically, with veteran contracts. Does it make sense to deal number 3, number 6, number 22, number 16, 24, any of those, or even 64?
So let's
shake
let's
things
go
up
this.
A little bit.
Coyle. I would try to move Coyle.
I think that Coyle you would get actually probably some good value for.
I think you could. I don't
get a refund for Burns.
I don't know that you're going to get anything a whole lot better, though. That's would be my concern.
I love how everybody's down on Coyle because, you know, there's going to be a team, though, that's going to pick up on this and...
He's going to become an all-star.
Somebody's gonna pick up a freaking, yeah, a gold mine, yeah. Really.
Okay,
Scandella. A young guy's going to figure it out, and he's gonna get
Scandella.
I want to keep Scandella. I like Scandy. I want to keep him here.
I think he had a great playoff series, but I was, you know, his regular season play actually really disappointed me.
I would agree. I thought in the playoffs he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But the regular season was left a little bit to be desired, yeah. And I'm not so high on him.
Zucker.
But with the good play in the off or
with Scandella, he's expensive enough.
Maybe
I think
we can get something for him.
Right, exactly. Zucker. I like Zucker in a general sense. I don't know that he's worth what we're going to pay for him, and I think he's ultimately replaceable. He's got young guy talent. That's not going to age well. And if he doesn't have speed, he's a worthless guy on our team. So
and I'm
going to move him. I'm going
to
move him.
I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. I think that Zucker is actually probably one of our most valuable players.
But his value is predicated on his speed. And that speed is going to diminish as the years go on.
Unless his hands start catching up to his feet, which they look... like he had promise for a minute, and then it just kind of...
It's like a mirage.
Yeah.
And I guess I would have to disagree with you guys, because it doesn't matter what your speed is or whatnot. At the end of the day, a lot of times when you come down to the end of the game and you're looking at who's, making those plays, a lot of times Zucker is involved with, what makes us win.
Okay.
And
we got to move on.
Too much explanation.
Next there, one, Nino.
Nino.
Can we find a different plumber from Switzerland?
I think that Nino is expendable. He's great. He had a lot of playoff goals for us this season. But
I think Nino is more valuable than Coyle.
Yeah, disagree. But
I think he's willing to get in that front where Coyle will skate around for days on the perimeter and patty cake with himself. Okay. And he'll look fancy and do nothing.
We could trade him and get somebody of the same value, I would say.
So then what's the point of trading him?
Well,
unless it's just a fresh start, but that's his second fresh start. Anyway, Dumba.
Dumba, I think, still has some potential. I think he needs to stop making the rookie mistakes that is 3 years in now. But I've still got hope for Dumba, and I would still like to keep him around. I still see that Burns loss that still irks me. And I don't want to get burned. Exactly. I still see that potential in Dumba, and I would like to keep him around.
I agree. Dumba is probably a bright, shining star coming up for us here. And, yes, he has made some mistakes, but I definitely think that he takes those to heart and he's learning from those I wouldn't want to lose something like that. So that I wouldn't, if I was personally in charge, I would not move.
All right. Last one, Granny. I say we keep Granny. Although it could be another Koivu situation where he doesn't get beyond that second line center. He's never that actual number one center that we want him to be, which he's been playing wing this year, so it doesn't really correlate.
As much as I like Granlin, I love his play. The business side of me here is thinking that with the season that he had, the Wild are going to be able to get, pretty good value from a trade. And I think that, we should work with that.
All right. GM from T-Hane 88. GMCF, General Manager Chuck Fletcher has been provided with ample leash over the years. Has the time come to find a new pet? If so, candidates. Well, my thoughts are we've got a lot from Buffalo in the past. Might as well pick up their crap again and go with Bilsma.
As your GM?
Yeah, why not?
I won't try to pretend to know enough GMs out there to replace Fletcher. I if you look at what he's done, I think he's made plenty of boneheaded moves. I think the Parisi Suter pickups at the time made sense, but in the post CBA environment, they kind of hurt him.
Remember where we were though when?
Oh yeah, I don't blame him for making those pickups.
We had nothing going on.
Don't get me wrong. I don't blame him for those moves. It's unfortunate that the environment of the league has changed, whereas those pickups are now hurting us.
Yeah,
and they're gonna hurt us for several years after this, just because of those contracts. I don't know that. You could bring someone else in, but I don't think it really changes anything at the end of the day.
Yeah. I do have to agree, because, now we've got Suter, we've got Parisi, they're getting on in their years. They're getting to be a little more veteran, but, also maybe they're not at the prime of their career. They don't have the pull to, bring in, anymore, another top talent that might come in for, a little less money to, basically, try to win a cup, basically. But, we'll move on from there.
All right. So going down, Gat G Wild Podcast.
At Get G Wild. At
Get G Wild Podcast.
Yep.
What's your stance on soup?
Tomato basil all the way. I love it. With a good bread.
It has to be hot. I do like a good tomato soup. I'm going to go with chicken wild rice.
Okay.
No soup for you.
You like a good tomato bisque?
Yes.
Or chowder?
But chowder. Actually, really, chicken wild rice is really good. But I do like the like cheesy ones. They're not always the best for you, but
like a beer cheese.
Yeah, soup. Like a cheesy potato soup or something like that. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I love the question. Next question from Chris Frost, MN Frost, at MN Frosty Boy. We all complain about one-eyed refs, but is there really favoritism in the NHL? I don't think there is. However, it's easy when you're on the losing end to criticize the lopsided officiating.
Because you're always you're looking for something.
Well, in a particular game, I think in any given game, the reffing can be lopsided. I truly believe that. I don't think it's malicious. I don't generally think that, at least. But
I'm gonna agree. Like I think some of it might come from attitude with the players, especially with like the linesmen that are dealing with the players directly a lot more.
Yep.
You know, you get a center that starts giving a lot of lip to a linesman who's dropping the puck a lot. That linesman might, you know, just be a little bit more on par with the rule book with that particular center rather than giving him some leniency. But I think in general, even some of the referees that we've had issues with, Aaron, Dan's and Brad's, I think when you look at the Wild's, like, the winning numbers, the win-loss numbers with them, they're really not as bad as what some of it seems like when we're watching some of the plays. You know, I don't know. I think a lot of it is just kind of like in the moment hype, and it's really not necessarily as bad as some of us make it out to be.
So really what it comes down to here is what you're saying is that the refs are human as well. And, you know, treat a ref how you'd like to be treated. And, you know.
Well, exactly. I mean, come back, they are human as well. And, you know, they got emotion and they do as much as it should be out of the game. It still comes up.
If,
and it happens.
If somebody's going to chirp at you, you know, you're not always, you know, looking to respond.
You know, those guys are taking crap
like
from,
with a big smile, you know.
You know, they're not only taking crap from, like, some of the players, but they're taking crap from 18,000 potentially other people that are screaming at them.
And probably from their bosses, too, that are, you know, saying, you know, hey, how are you calling these games?
So,
you know, you got to come from all sides. So that's, yeah.
All right.
All right. Next question comes in from Minnesota 24.
Teresa Ferris.
Ferris. We've got how much salty licorice will it take to wallow your misery?
Wallow in your misery.
To wallow in your misery. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Now that the season is over.
How much do I need to bathe in to preserve my body?
None.
Well, we've got this bag of salty licorice right here.
Not that other kind of salty licorice.
And we're not going to take the double zoot.
No, that's just for clearing ice off of driveways now.
Right. I'll at least have one of these.
I don't need any to.
I will have one, too.
I don't need any. Okay, I'll have one. I don't really like this.
Yum.
These aren't bad. These are salty, you know.
They're salt. They're chewy.
Yeah. Mm.
So,
next one.
While we're all chomping on licorice.
So, we're doing it. We're wallowing.
Mm-hmm. We're wallowing.
There's your answer, Teresa.
From Puck Rocker, at Puck Rocker. F Hockey. Are you guys going to the Iron Maiden this summer? And tell me the top 5 Maiden songs of all time.
I tried to get Frosty to get us tickets because he's got, like, super fan club access and stuff. Didn't really work out. I didn't seem desperate enough, I don't think.
I think I'm unfortunately on a different show that night.
Huh.
So I can't make it.
Unless you run to the hills.
Okay, well, obviously the tops. So talking about the top 5 songs, though, obviously the first song is The Trooper.
Trooper.
Easily.
Run to the Hills.
Run to the Hills. I think then it starts separating a little bit. Number of the Beast, I'd probably say,
number
was up there.
Number of the Beast is up there.
That's a good song.
I like Wasted Years, personally. Aces High, I think, is also a great one. Hollow Be Thy Name.
Hmm.
2 minutes to Midnight, Jive Midnight.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, we had that other.
Wicker Man is all right.
So, if I'm doing my top five, Trooper, Run to the Hills, Wasted Years, Number of the Beast, Aces High. That's going to be my five.
I'm going to go Trooper, Run to the Hills, Number of the Beast. Oh, crap. Hallowed Be Thy Name, 2 minutes to Midnight.
2 minutes to Midnight is a really good one. Jive, opinions? Mm.
Trooper, Run to the Hills are easy, right?
Yes, those are no-brainers.
Yes, they are. I'll have to agree with you, 2 minutes to Midnight, just because. And then probably, yeah, The Number of the Beast and... either Wasted Years or The Wicker Man.
All right.
And then I would go Wicker Man. That would be my next pick.
All right, last question from Jay Bushy, 19. Would the Wild have any interest in TJ Oshie? He's a free agent. They're not going to have room for him, so no.
I don't think they can afford him unless we get rid of, from some of the previous question, you know, 3, yeah. 6, 16, 22, 24, 64.
I don't see we're going to have a room.
Again, Aaron, that goes back to basically Fletcher's drowning himself with the anchor he put around his neck.
Yep.
With the Parisi and Suter contracts.
Yep.
Jive. TJ Yoshi. He's Minnesota.
Yoshi.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean.
What are you thinking?
We can figure out a way.
So you think the Wild are going to do it?
No.
Okay. So I think there you have it. Twitter talk.
Last wrap up.
Yeah. I think we're going to take a couple weeks off after this one.
Yeah.
At the least. We'll try to do something a little.
Put a little salted licorice on our wounds.
Yeah, we'll do a little one a little bit later during the playoffs.
We're going to actually wipe out our Twitter questions, our three in the box questions, and our current doc. So if you have them, send it to us, and we'll keep an eye on it. And if we get enough, maybe we'll do a surprise show.
Yeah, why
with
not?
Just, you know, questions from all of you lovely folks.
Yeah.
Kenny's volunteering to do a show.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't get questions, we'll just play pinball and drink beer. So
I will be around one way or another. So right. it's up to you on when our next show is. You send us enough quality questions.
Yeah.
They don't have to be Wild related, but just hashtag 3ITB.
Yeah, ask us about soup or what
Iron Maiden.
Preferred meat products. I don't know. Ooh. I like the culinary angle.
What's your favorite cut of steak?
I'd answer, but I'm going to wait for someone
Let's
to ask that.
Let's save that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Pretty much, you know, Instagram and Twitter at Nostrakenius. Feel free to harass me over the summer as I'm doing various things, and yeah.
Jive.
Yeah, so I was just listening today. I think I need to control my digital media a little bit more, you know? I need to own it. Apparently it's very valuable to a lot of these companies. And I'm sure nobody wants to hear about this, but you can still find me if you want. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter.
All right, then.
That was a very long explanation for
that was
at Jive Midnight.
As for myself.
So, no. I was reading.
As for myself, I've got things to say, too.
Yeah. You got nothing to say, though, because you got no.
I've got something to say.
Because you got no ownership.
I killed a little baby today.
Because you got no ownership of your digital data. Really. I was listening to some today about this and reading up about it.
We'll save that podcast for our podcast review podcast. It's
pretty deep for a hockey podcast, man.
Yeah, that's our that's our podcast on podcast review podcast.
Well, crap. All right.
Have
a good off season, folks. We'll see you next year. And our host.
That's for, you gotta save that for 3 in the VPN, you know?
3 in the VPN. Okay. <Ooh. laughs> All right.
Anyway, thanks to everyone for listening to us. You can follow us on Twitter at 3 in the Box.
Next year.
If you got questions for us, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. As Kenny said, we'll probably do a show if we got enough of those gathered up, you know? And you listen to our podcast on our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player, Google Play Music. Rate us, do that stuff, or iTunes, or, you know, whatever.
Or just tell your friends, hey, check out this podcast.
Hey, they talk about soup during their hockey podcast.
Tie them to a chair, put headphones on, and make them listen.
Yeah.
Three in the chowder.
3 in the chowder. I love that.
Are we have an all soup episode this summer?
We should.
I mean, talk soup is already taken for a name, but could we do soup talk? Oh crap! Nobody
why not
take
all
that.
About soup.
The soup in the box.
Soup. In the
box. Well, I guess it's better than a soupy box.
Oh,
all right. Man. This is a great way to end the season. I gotta say that.
Shut up!
Yes, we all should.
That's the show, I think. Thanks, people.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.